You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Girls After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Girls After Show.
Yeah! Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another fabulous after show for girls. We are in season 2, episode 3, Bad Friend. Luckily, I don't have any bad friends in this room. Joining me are my fabulous co-hosts. Who's to my right?
Oh, hey, sorry, Jamin. I was feeling the groove, people. My name's Thomas, and across from me, spicing it up.
Spicy Marty in the building. And to the left of me,
Miriam Gonzalez, jamming it out.
Great that we have too much fun here.
It's a great show.
Such a great show. Such an interesting episode tonight.
Yes.
Filled with lots of fun and drugs and weird sex. Yeah. And all kinds of, you know, bad friends.
The experiences of your 20s.
I don't know. I didn't have any experiences like that. I have no idea. I cannot relate to this episode whatsoever.
Yeah. Are you going to play the fifth?
Totally play the fifth. I don't know what they're talking
there
about.
There should be an AfterBuzz lie.
I don't get it.
I have no idea what Coke even is.
It's so, that soda in the red can.
So we start out the episode. Hannah has a job interview, which is, you know,
yay.
I was proud of her.
I'm so happy for her.
Very happy for her to see that. And she, you know, she had her an outfit, like a nice little outfit.
Didn't she look put together before doing drugs?
Yeah. Power clashing is what
No, not that outfit. The interview outfit.
Yeah, I don't remember what she had on. I wasn't paying attention to her outfit.
Well, she had a floral print, you know, like coral top.
Oh, okay.
And like, was it shorts? She's always wearing shorts.
They look like culottes.
So,
but she looked really good.
But she actually did look put together for this. Like, she, you know, spent some time. She curled her hair. She had some makeup on. She had earrings. She put some effort forward. She did. She actually put some effort in. She was, you know, she was very respectful in her interview. And the interview happens right in the lobby of the, you know, of the place where she goes. It was called, what, Jazz Beat or something?
Yeah.
Jazz Hate.
Jazz Hate. Jazz Hate. Yeah. And it was for a freelance gig to write an article for their website. So it's, you know, internet, but hey, it pays $200 an article. And according to the interviewer, she doesn't look that fancy, so $200 should be good.
I cannot really defend that.
It's got to hurt to hear that. If Hannah were to ever become a hustler, that'd be a great gig. I'd be writing all the time. $200 here, $200 there before you know
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can maximize it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
But I love that Hannah is so oblivious. That just rolls right off her. She doesn't even, you know, doesn't even phase her.
Yeah, and I don't know if she's not quick and she's just not getting it right away. Because it took her a second to get the joke, too, about where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
well, I think it might be
comfort zone.
Kind of one of those things when you're in, you know, kind of like a high stress situation, which, you know, a job interview can be, then all of a sudden your mind is blank and you don't even know what 2 + 2 is.
No, Hannah never gets it at first. Like, never.
No.
But I think that adds to it, you know, when you have somebody kind of staring you down, what's the answer that you should know that's so obvious and maybe it's not that obvious?
It was in front of her, though. It was like
she
literally.
She kind of got it, though, when she started giving her the suggestions. And you know what? I will say this. I like the fact that that office had the think outside of the circle and think outside of the box thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people lose sight in the fact that that is where the magic happens, as, you know, the chick that was interviewing her said.
Right. But the thing that I don't necessarily completely agree with is, yes, getting out of your comfort zone, I truly believe, is where magic happens. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go have threesomes with people you meet on Craigslist or do a bunch of coke and write about it.
Or how about the fact that she needed so much direction for the articles? Like, there's a million topics that she could have picked, and she's just going to run with those two suggestions that her new boss gave her. And the coke one, that's the one you chose?
Well, at first I was thinking, well, maybe the boss is kind of just giving her hints or ideas, like, think outside. But then she had that kind of like that dry humor face where you're like, oh, this bitch isn't playing. Like,
right,
she fucking
serious.
Wants me to go do a real coke. Oh, we're not supposed
she
to.
She was serious. Like, that's it. Whoa there.
Yes. Sorry, we're not supposed to cut. Sorry, oops. But anyway.
That was just nice and raw.
Well, hey, it's girls. But no, I mean, that's because I kind of see where you're going at with that. And I think she was just trying.
She was just throwing out crazy stuff that you can write about.
But her expression was so weird.
Well, no,
it was
I think she was
deadpan.
Absolutely serious. The thing about Hannah is, and Hannah knew she was serious, mm-hmm. so that's why she started explaining why she didn't want to do the threesome, because she has a hard enough time paying attention to where to put her, you know, how to touch other people's one person, you know, how to have sex with one person. Having multiple partners would be too much for her.
She can't focus.
And, you know, she'd never done coke before, because she said, I never done coke, and then the boss is like, oh, perfect, that makes it even better. Right. And she said, well, you know, I have weird nasal passages. And this is this is the level of where her head is. And that's how close-minded she is. These mm-hmm. two suggestions come out, and that's all. She doesn't, even look at the wall. And after even this whole think outside the box thing is explained to her, she still doesn't get it in the way that she goes beyond these two suggestions. Yeah. Basically, what they're telling her is, we want outrageous, raw stories.
Right.
Doesn't have to be doing drugs or having threesomes, but I want it to be kind of out there along those lines. But she's too literal.
She's close-minded,
she
too.
Yeah. And to be a, you know, this is her first kind of venture out to be a writer, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Okay, I know this is what she wants. I'm going to give her what she wants, so she'll keep, you know, keep me coming back and writing more, which, you know, you don't always have to do what people tell you.
But then starts the pursuit of coke.
Yes, so now she's on a mission to find some cocaine, and we run into, you know, the other three girls having like a stoop sale.
It was a vintage, I forgot, it was like Maiden something vintage boutique on the stoop of their sidewalk.
Yes, on the stoop.
I was like, is Jessa having this yard sale because like maybe her, I was thinking maybe like her man left her or she was trying to make some money or something, but you guys were like, no, she's just having a yard sale.
She's just
the girls
hustling,
are just having,
you know,
a yard sale.
Yeah, well, and I think Marnie, you know, was in need of money and needed to sell some stuff, and I think they were just kind of having a yard sale.
Well, Marnie lives with Shoshana now, so it just makes sense that they'd all be there
right
during that kind of weird interaction. And I just think it's more, Jessa doesn't really care about material things, so, you know, she's got this new husband. It's just a clearing for her. Mm. She's just clearing out the old stuff because she was sporting some sweet espadrilles. I was like, damn, those shoes are hot.
Yeah, and they're sitting around, and it's really funny because out of the, you know, the four of them, Shoshana's the one that has a little bit of an attitude, kind of like, you know, what's the point here? What are we doing?
And then doesn't Jessa fire her back? Oh, it's because you're getting sex all the time. You're not getting any sleep.
Well, she said, no. She says, I love this new attitude of yours because you're, you know, having sex now. And she's like, no, it's because I'm not getting sleep, because all Ray wants to do is stay up and watch reruns of Ally McBeal all night.
Is that show still on?
It's on Netflix. I love
it. Oh, I was like, wait, that's a really old show. We don't even have it here at AfterBuzz.
But you can watch on Netflix, and it's awesome. So I thought that was really cute. Just like, that's the level of, they're obviously spending a lot of time together, together still, so that relationship is going strong.
But it was cute that she has like man problems now, and that's her man problem, is that she's not getting enough sleep.
She had her one little Princess Leia butt.
That's the sacrifice, though, that happens when you start in a new relationship. You start sacrificing your time schedule for the other person. So here she's hanging out with Ray all the time, and, you know, she has a life. She's got, you know, places to be in the morning, things to do, and he really is just kind of like, what is he, like in his 30s or something? He's just kind of like, whatever, dude. He's
He runs that coffee shop that Hannah works at, right? Does she still work there? I think she does, right?
Like
as a part-time job.
Hannah still works at the coffee shop? I haven't seen her there in episodes.
I don't think they've showed her there since last season, but I think she
mentioned it.
Yeah.
She mentioned when Marnie got the job at the
hostess,
uh-huh. she'd mentioned that she was doing something.
Yeah.
So she was still working at the coffee
shop. I hope they don't drug test her for her sake. Jeez.
True, well, the fact that Ray had brought over that, you know, ecstasy tea or whatever last season with that, you know, I can't imagine that they're drug testing. Remember that?
Was it ecstasy tea or like mushroom tea?
It was something like that.
Shoshana like freaked out, right?
No, it was when he had his
Hannah
old girlfriend.
Freaked out, that's right.
He went to her parents' house.
Oh my gosh.
The hotel.
So funny.
Read my stories.
I was like really trying to go back, and now I remember. Thank you for jogging that.
Yes. So I don't think that there's really drug testing going on at that place.
No.
It's a coffee shop.
Yeah. But they're on the stoop. That's when Hannah figured out
What's a stoop, by the way?
It's the steps.
Oh, right. Like the steps in front of like their walk up, since it's not really a yard.
Why don't they just call it steps?
Because it's called a stoop.
Because you can hang out on the stoop.
Is it a New York thing, or is this like
I think so.
You don't I'm from, you know,
Central West Coast. Always, like, I don't know if it's just a New York thing. I've always heard it as called, like, a stoop. Mm-hmm. If it's not a porch, because you're in an apartment building, but it's not, I don't know, it's a stoop. I don't know.
Well, I always just really say stairwell. I always say the stairwell.
See, but you don't hang out on a stairwell. You'll hang out on the front yard on the stoop.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a place where you actually can sit and commit versus, like, random, like, oh, yeah, he's hanging out in the stairwell.
It doesn't sound as shady. Yeah.
It sounds so weird.
It's more of a community area, I guess.
What? Back to girls.
Sorry, I had to clarify that.
So this pursuit of coke.
Yeah, so Marnie suggests, the first thing is they want to know who it's for. Jessa asks who it's for, and they automatically think Adam. Poor Adam.
She's like, we didn't even see my love this episode.
No. I know.
I wonder what's going on with him.
He's in jail.
Oh, I forgot about that. They didn't even address that.
No, she just completely forgot about it.
That's because she's selfish.
Yeah, it's over it. So Jessa asks who it's for. I think it's for Adam. She says, no, it's me for work. I have to write about doing cocaine. So Marnie suggests that she's, you know, hits up the junkie in their building. Laird that lives downstairs. And, you know, apparently Marnie has had conversations with him where he has admitted that he was a junkie. So it's obvious right now in Hannah's mind it's appropriate to call him a junkie. Like, he's admitted it, so that's kind of his thing.
Well, he hangs out at the mailbox, and then according to
Shoshana,
all junkies hang out at the mailbox.
I did not know that.
But
so when you get your mail, look out.
But now I know if I need any form of narcotics, where to go. My mailbox. Like, hey guys, why are you getting your envelope? Can you give me some coke?
Well, and you know, so Hannah takes Marnie's advice, goes downstairs, knocks on Laird's door, and it's a very awkward encounter. Laird is a pretty interesting person.
But the fact that they thought that Laird had leprosy.
No. She said he looks like someone that would have it.
Oh.
She was just kind of, because he looks like grungy and dirty.
Right.
And then that's when Marnie was like, you don't even know what that looks like, having leprosy.
Do you see the irony in his name, though?
Layered
and the layer of like the griminess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they went there.
He sounds dirty.
Yeah,
he looks dirty.
It just sounds like creepy and like weird and a place you don't want to be.
He needs a shave and a haircut.
He absolutely does. Poor Laird.
And probably a bath.
So Hannah goes over, they open the door, you know, he opens the door, invites her in, and he's got this messy apartment, watching cartoons, and, you know, he looks like he's...
Well, his apartment wasn't messy,
drugs.
There just wasn't anything in there.
No, the table with, like, the food boxes
but it wasn't, like,
you know. But it was, like, it wasn't, like, a curtain, it was, like, a sheet hanging on the window, you know?
He's a bachelor. Like,
he's clean now. Dingy. He's clean, remember?
Well, yeah, but before, like, how do we find out that? She asked him for drugs, and, you know, she's like, because I know you're a junkie. That's what she says. It's never appropriate to call someone that, even if they call themselves that.
I like the fact that he was alluding to there being a possible love interest there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his poor little heart was probably crushed when she just wanted drugs from him. You know, he was getting excited. He was like, I pass you pass me, we make eye contact. There's this awkward silence, we don't really address. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm just going to come straight on and say it. I need coke.
Yes. Well, and then he offers her pomegranate juice first because he says he's an addict.
And he gets up and he felt awkward telling her that. And then when he handed it to her, when Hannah asked him for the coke, you know, he was, like you said, trying to, like, hit on her, tell her, hey, I like you, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I don't know how to tell you. Well, I need cocaine. Like, but it was weird. And then when he's like, no, I'm clean now. I don't do it. And she's like, oh. Okay, well, well I guess that does
him,
it.
You know, like, congratulations. You know,
because like, you don't look clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really inappropriate. So like,
that's the second time in less than 10 minutes into the show where she's completely oblivious to what the situation is.
She's self-centered, so she's looking at her needs and no one else's. Well,
and he tells her, I don't really think you should be getting involved with that. You know, you should stay away from that. And she's like, so you're telling me I should ask somebody else? And he's like, no, I still know people and I've always wanted to do something for you. Because he obviously has a crush on her.
So sweet.
So he's going to get her the cocaine.
Well, do you think that was weird? He said, I want to do something for you. Because I was like, well, what do you want to do for her?
I picked that up.
He lives under the stairwell.
Yeah.
By the stoop, under the stairwell.
He's wanted to do something for you.
Well, he likes her. And if, you know, if you've ever had a crush on somebody and, you know, at any point to do anything for them and, you know, can't get any reaction, you know, you're going to be all about it.
It is officially one of the love languages, an act of service. Yeah. And that's what he was trying to do for her. Now, getting coke, I don't know how much love that shows. Maybe it's like the new thing and we'll see it more often, maybe Valentine's Day. I don't know. But
I think it's more the fact that it's him going out of his way to do something, even though, and people do this all the time in relationships, you know, especially if there's no connection, you'll go out of your way to do something for somebody, even though you don't like him or you don't like it. And so for him, it's uncomfortable, but because he likes her, he's gonna go out of his way to make her happy in hopes that maybe he'll win her affections. And that's kind of where I think he was going with that.
Do you think this shows how naive she is? Or that she, like, yes. Do you think Hannah's just extremely, maybe it's both, extremely naive into this whole situation she's about to embark? Or is she, and then how does it relate to her job aspect? Like, she's trying so hard to please this boss that she's actually throwing her own values into the wind. Do you think that has something to do with her young age?
Is she really throwing her own values? Does she have them?
She didn't
seem to be opposed to the idea of doing coke. The only thing she said about not doing it was because of her nose. Not that she would never do it or she was against drugs. She didn't seem too taken aback by those suggestions of the threesome or the cocaine stories.
I thought that was just a nervous comment from her, to be honest. Like, her nervous reaction, like, oh, I have nasal, oh, because that's how, because she kind of was put on the spot, and I felt like she was trying to come up with reasons why, like, hey, I'm so cool, but this is why I can't do this.
Right.
No, but she didn't say she couldn't do it. She said the only reason why she hasn't done it.
Well, she's not going to tell the boss she can't, because she doesn't want to make her dislike her.
I absolutely
But I felt that was her way of covering it up.
I didn't take it that way at all. I just thought that it was, that she was, because she's very, says, she doesn't think before she talks, she just talks.
It's her.
So I think it was a very honest answer.
It's her awkward natural reaction. It's her normal thing. Like, okay. She'll just say some random stuff and it just, that's just Hannah.
See, and I thought she was trying to find excuses as well.
Her character doesn't seem to me to be the person that finds excuses for anything. She doesn't find excuses for anything. She thinks that the way that she thinks and what she does is always the right way because it's all about Hannah. So she doesn't even need to make excuses for anything. She'll just say, well, I haven't done this or, you know, but she didn't seem to be, she didn't ask anybody, should I do this? She didn't ask anybody's advice. She was just like, boom, let's do this. I'm getting some
cocaine. And then it makes you wonder, what about the next time that she has to write a story? Is she going to do whatever it takes every single time in order to be able to create something?
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Like, what if she has to do a story on STDs? She's going to go catch one real quick and then write a story on it?
She already has one.
Oh, yeah. Well, there goes another story she can write.
No, but if they, something about being a hooker, would she go stand on the corner? Like, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
What, something that's very drastic, but this is also very drastic.
She'll do what it takes to get a story.
But I think that she absolutely will, because you have to remember, she doesn't understand her own life experiences. She doesn't take them in as her own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She feels like she has to be on this writer's path of what someone else says is a writer's path. So I absolutely think that if somebody told her to go be a hooker, she'd would totally do it.
Don't you think there's a bit of narcissism involved in her character?
Oh,
like absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
She's the most self-centered, self-involved.
I mean, the fact that she even, you know, because obviously she gets the coke. She decides her cocaine partner is going to be Elijah. There, you know, he's done it before, apparently. He alludes to the fact that he has because he tells her, you know, you've never done this before. We have to get you a better outfit.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever it was that he and he chose that sober for her. Like, that was I don't know what you would call somebody offer on coke. I know drinking sober. What do you call non-coked out? He was non-coked
pre-coke,
out.
Pre-coked.
Yeah. So that was pre-coked.
Still sober. Sober is sober.
Oh, okay. Sober. So he was pre-coked before he when he picked that outfit out.
Yes, and it was an outfit inspired by a girl in middle school that had sex with her uncle and her stepdad. It was power. What was it? Power clashing.
Power clashing. Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is she
and it
wearing?
Was a Trader. Horrible outfit that didn't even really fit her.
Or
and
flatter.
It did not flatter at her all. At all. But she rocked it. She wore it. And it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they decided to go ahead and get the Coke party started.
Well, she asked, so can we start now? And then yeah. He's like, for human decency, she's like, oh, yeah.
No, but she said that's not a rule. Because she asked, are there any rules that say we can't start at 4? And he says, well, nothing other than human decency. She's like, yeah, well, that really isn't. So they go ahead and start.
I kind of feel like that sometimes about drinking, so I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to ever drink before 12. I just think it's wrong.
It's 12 o'clock somewhere.
You guys don't agree
it's
with
12
that?
O'clock well, somewhere.
It depends. You guys are algies. Where you are,
because
it's very
in California,
you know. But if you're at brunch, it's acceptable to be. If you're in Vegas, it's acceptable to be drinking all day long.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if you wake up and you tap the bottle with your toothbrush, I mean, then that's that's a problem. Yes, but
there's nothing wrong with putting a little splash in your coffee in the morning.
Hey, gotcha.
You guys are just like Hannah.
Bailey's good.
Go.
It's good.
Anyway, so they, you know, they start this cocaine party, and. Listen, they are all of a sudden having these revelations of all these things they want to do. And it's this open honesty of, I want to do this, I want to do that. Elijah wants to visit a prison and raise show ponies. And, you know, Hannah wants to get married wearing a veil. And,
and eat 15, try 15 cakes.
Yes, before she gets married. You know, all these different things. But, you know, and as it starts, you know, they take off and they go dancing. They, you know, go to this, you know, gay club where their friends are spinning. These iPad DJs, Andrew and Andrew.
That dress alike and dance alike.
Yes. They both changed their names to Andrew. But the thing that she says that just solidifies the character in which we were just discussing is she says one of her greatest dreams is to be able to have sex with herself.
And also
her nightmare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very, she's all about herself right now. And I think sometimes, because I think it's a self-esteem issue, I think she does that. She makes everything all about her because she's so insecure, so it has to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of this journey that she's on, and hopefully she'll kind of grow out of that. But in every situation, it always circles back to her, no matter what they're doing. It's always, what did somebody do to her? How does she fit into this thing? And why don't you think about her feelings, even if it has nothing to do with her? Even, hopped up on coke, it's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got a bomb dropped on her at the club.
She did.
While she was snorting off of
the toilet. Yeah, the toilet. Nasty ass toilet.
Say, let us not pass
with
the fact.
Paper.
And they were licking.
And they were licking the lid of the toilet.
If anybody's ever been to a club, you guys know that there's pee everywhere because when you're drunk, you miss the toilet. Like, you just miss the mark. Sometimes it's throw up, sometimes it's pee. We don't know. But the fact that they were licking it off the toilet,
so
I was like, ew.
Okay, let me just say that watching this episode, if you have never done any type of narcotic before, seeing the way that they look, the things that they were doing, would that make you ever want to try it?
No.
And that's what I love about the show. They show the non-flattery, the side that's horrible about drugs, which a lot of TV shows show when it's going well, all the good times they have, or just quick club scenes.
Yeah.
They don't show the aftermath. And it kind of was, you know, the very beginning of the episode, Hannah was put together well. And at the end, she was an effing mess.
Like, yeah.
She was a mess. Yeah. Like,
wait a second. Before they even go to the bathroom, the fact that she's dancing with, I was like, is it a guy? Is it a girl?
And she switched shirts in the middle of the dance floor?
And they, like, change shirts. And, I can't help but to think of our darling Andrew and, like, her boobs.
Yes.
I'm like, this whole episode, like, her boobs were just
We see
out.
Her boobs
we
in every episode.
Yeah. But you know what? I applaud her. I'm sorry. I appreciate the fact that she is a nudist and she's free with it. And puts it publicly in her show. Like, I appreciate that.
No, that's not safe in a city like New York, though. Mm-hmm. You can't go walking around with
your tits out. Real. It's not real. It's a TV program.
You know what? It's not real, but the situations are real.
And that, and therefore, you know, stuff like that happens when you're on drugs and you don't really know any better and you act like you're at home.
Or inhibitions were lowered.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What it, I mean, she was stripping down in the club, put clothes back on. The shirt didn't even fit the guy, or whatever the hell, the guy, or whatever it was. If he's transgender, good for you.
It didn't even fit Hannah when she had it on.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then they're in the bathroom, I mean, licking off the seat, you submit to the toilet paper, and it was disgusting. And then,
she soaks her head under the water.
And she's sweating, you know, profusely. Elijah is super adorable. He even looks throwed. Their eyes are really red and watery, like bloodshot. It's just, you know, they're sniffing. And messing with and I think that people on cocaine are the most unattractive sight I've ever seen.
Yeah, because this is never cute. Anytime you play with your nose, that's not sexy.
No, when you're constantly...
Right.
Or when they're moving their jaw. I mean, it was like, you guys, chill. They, you know what was really gross? I think grosser than all of that? Mm-hmm. It's when she wet her hair. I don't know if you noticed, there were people standing in the back of her, and she flung it back like a wet dog. Like, that is disgusting.
I thought she was trying to do the supermodel thing, where you come out of the water and fling your hair back.
I don't think she was trying to be sexy.
No. I thought she was trying to be sexy.
The problem with being in that kind of situation is it brought out the truth. They had this whole, like, it became a truth serum of them just kind of like, I love you, baby, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. I feel like being honest with you. And that's when we get the bomb dropped on us, where Elijah's like, oh, yeah, dude, I really feel like being honest with you. By the way, I slept with Marnie. And she's like, what?
Devastated.
Talk about mm-hmm. a sobering up moment.
Absolutely.
And for her to stick her head under the sink, she's like, seriously, is this happening to me? She's like, I can't breathe. Like,
she's having a panic attack.
Oh, yeah. You add Coke into the mix, you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, it just crazy intensifies what her normal reaction would have been. And, you know, honestly, as crazy and self-absorbed as she is, I thought she was so right on with the way that she handled that situation. With her, you know, with just why she was upset. And, yeah, when she talks to Elijah about it when they're at, you know, the Duane Reade or wherever they are, the drugstore.
CVS for us, yeah. Duane Reade for them.
Yeah, so wherever they are, the little drugstore, and she's, you know, and she tells him, I was supposed to be your last, and he's like, you know, that's ridiculous, that's rich. It all has to be about you. It's always Hannah. Yeah. Did you ever stop and think that what I'm doing has nothing to do with you? And she says, no.
Because she's so self-absorbed. Yes. That's when I stopped feeling sorry for her. Well, I felt sorry for her at the club because I was like, wow, that's really shitty that he told her in that environment. Mm-hmm. And that's the state of mind that she found out this information. And I was like, wow, that's really that told a lot about him sharing. It showed how immature he is. But also that, like, he didn't factor in, like, the best way to tell her if he was going to tell her. But I lost respect for her in that sense when she made it all about her. Like, instead of, like, you know, that shitty what you guys did and saying, like, you know, that shitty what you guys did, friends don't do that to each other. But her saying, like, I was your last. It's like, who gave you that power? You know what I mean?
It was devastating to her, though, I think, to experience being with a man who you're in love with and finding out that he is gay. Mm-hmm. And so I think for her, it was more, it had sentimental value that at least, like, she had that. At least I was your last. You know, mm-hmm. I might have turned you. Who knows why you're gay? But at least I had that last piece of you.
Isn't that selfish of her to think that she would be his last?
Well, it is, but it's still a natural, it doesn't matter. It's still a natural thing. And especially when you're that young, everything is about you.
Beyond that, it's the fact that here, of all people that it happens to happen with, it happens with her best friend who mm-hmm. happens to be freaking gorgeous. And mm-hmm. she knows Marnie's like, she's the tits. Like, she's hot. Mm-hmm. And for him to, like, diss Hannah and go and be with Marnie now years later after him being mm-hmm. supposedly gay, it's devastating. That's mm-hmm. a devastating thing to happen to someone. It's like, oh, my God, wait, I thought I was your last. I thought I was the one that turned you. Like, you mean you're not? You mean you still can?
Well, and I think it brings up a lot of internal issues. So maybe I just wasn't enough. I wasn't hot enough. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. And regardless of it is supposed to be about her or not, you can't help that, you know, to feel, you know, like, it's something that you did wrong, or you weren't adequate enough, or there was something about you. Why didn't he want to be with her?
Well, also, too, I think that it's her and Marnie have a very competitive relationship.
Yes.
And I think that out of everybody, it could have been anybody in the world, but it had to be somebody who she's threatened by semi. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the biggest devastation was, and Marnie, and because he said, he was like, I couldn't even stay hard for her. It went like limp like that. And it didn't come in her, but.
Come at her.
I think he said come in her.
I didn't even come at her.
Like, I swear I thought he said come in her. If you guys at home are listening, call us and let us know. 424-256-1729. Was it come in her or come at her?
I thought it was at her. But also, guys, go to iTunes. Please subscribe to our podcast. Rate and comment. 5 stars, please. It's free. Tell your friends. And also tell us, was it come in her, come at her? What are they doing? Tell us what you think about the situation. Do you think, you know, that Hannah reacted well or not? I mean, we love to hear your comments. We want to, you know, get you guys involved too. So please go let us know. And don't forget to rate and comment. YouTube too, because we see those too.
But outside from her selfishness, like, would that, I mean, I think it is shitty. Like, her best friend and her roommate, like,
regardless, it's never that, okay that, to share, I mean, a man. I don't care if he's gay or
but,
not.
But
it
regardless,
is not okay.
I totally agree with you, but that just insult to injury, like, you don't shit where you eat. And, like, literally, her roommate fucked her best friend, you know, vice versa. I mean, I just think. Sorry, we can't say the F word.
I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry. We are cursing a lot.
All right, Thomas. Beyond that, it's the fact that there is a rule when it comes to friends and ex-lovers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good friend, you don't do who I've done.
Right.
Good point.
It's or
the
did.
Underlying, yeah. I mean, unless time has gone by so
or
much.
Or doing.
You know, like, there is a grace period. Like, you know, if I dated somebody, like, if you and I dated 10 years ago, that time has passed. We're friends. I want you to
be
happy.
There's a grace period? Mm-hmm. I didn't know this
well,
rule.
Well, I think it was.
Oh, so it just is forever.
So I think it's your man, then, girl.
No.
See, no, it's well, no, not
wait,
okay.
Wait, calm down. We're not talking about
it. Okay. There is no grace period.
There is a time where it kind of dies down, and I'm not saying that it's always acceptable, but there is a time where, like, all right, you look at somebody and you're like, I used to once be into you, and now, like, if you kiss, you're like, oh my God, it's like kissing my family
right.
member.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the grace period ends, where it's like, dude, if you make him happy,
go for it. I think it's definitely a case-by-case basis,
yes.
Because if there's, you know, if there's someone, you know, like the first guy I was ever in love with, he better never touch anybody that I ever met in my life, or it would be on.
Because Kelly's coming after you.
But, you know, like,
but it was a grace period.
No, there's no grace period for that one.
No, it's case by case.
I think it's a case by case in that sense because Hannah was totally in love with Elijah.
Yeah.
And Marnie knew that. And this is what we touched on
correct.
Last week is I know, especially because Marnie made out with him during Rent and when they were in school. So she obviously always needs to feel like she is better than Hannah, that she can
there's
get
intimidation
something.
There too.
I think it definitely goes on both sides, but Marnie has an insecurity about herself too that she always has to come out on top. She has to know if she wants it, she can have it, and she's done that twice already.
So as women, who do you think's more at fault, Elijah or Marnie, in this situation for betraying Hannah?
Marnie, absolutely.
Yeah, because regardless, Elijah's still the dude, and you never really blame him because it's always, like, kind of a sexual thing with him.
Because men think with their other head and not with the one that's on top of your shoulders.
Oh.
Okay, good.
We got the F word cleared.
You know, but that's what I think, too, is that, you know, it's definitely a different mentality. So, you know, I definitely believe Marnie was in the wrong because I think it was more calculated there. And the fact that she did it on the couch in her apartment when she could have come in at any time.
Ooh, gross.
She wanted to be caught. She wanted, you know, to know. And the fact that she didn't tell her herself, regardless of what Elijah thinks, who cares?
You know what? This is Marnie's at her bottom and she's reaching. She's not used to being in this position.
Right.
And
she's a bottle service girl. She's doing artists and stuff. Like,
she looks like a slutty Von Trapp kid in every episode.
Tell me when you guys are ready to talk about that sex scene because I'm ready. Go ahead.
But
go back.
She's in this insecure, very unfamiliar place where she's kind of reaching and grasping for attention. Now, mind you, in the last episode, when she was talking to Hannah, like, I haven't seen you, we haven't talked, and are we okay? Are we good? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same night that they did it, and Hannah totally, like, blew her off and bounced on her. So how else is she going to reach out and get Hannah's attention?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do Elijah.
Absolutely.
Opportunity presented itself.
I see.
And so it's kind of one of those deals.
Great
connection. I think when you're growing up and you're, you know, throughout your teenage years and your early 20s, you start to weed out your friends and you start to figure out who your friends really are and what type of relationships you really do have.
Mm-hmm.
Because after seeing their relationship with Marnie attacking her about rent and, you know, vice versa, them going kind of at it, are they really best friends? Is that really somebody you would consider your best friend? Somebody that's going to try to one-up you at every turn or mother, you know what I mean? Or take advantage of you. Either way, it's a very difficult situation.
I think that they've grown up together, whether, you know, I don't know how far back beyond the college years they know each other, but there comes a point where you disconnect. You start to separate. You go your own path. And they're friendship is kind of being pulled apart because they're two different people. And that's just the natural progression of relationships.
Well,
either
yeah.
you grow together or you grow apart.
And Laird did say apart. They were two people that looked like they shouldn't have been roommates because he was looking at their mail.
He is freaky.
They get different magazine subscriptions.
The fact that he is...
different schedules.
The fact that he is stalking... Hannah now, I think, is simply adorable.
I think it is,
I thought
too.
That was really cute.
When
he was
stalking get cute?
But when she ran into him in the grocery store.
When you're lonely and single.
No, and I didn't find that to be creepy at all. I think he was genuinely concerned about
I
her.
So
this is her first time into drugs. He's the one that gave them to her, so he feels responsible.
And he likes her.
And he likes her. So I think he wanted just to, he tried to stay back far enough so she didn't know. Like, he let her have her fun. He wasn't trying to scold her or anything.
You that part I get.
I wonder if we were to rewind it and watch in the club if we would see him in the background.
Oh,
I wonder if he was placed back there.
Creepy. Ooh. We should totally.
I want to go see that now and kind of see if they're like, if they put him in there.
They
I
might and watch him. Yeah, yeah watch him.
Like
be
in the
there.
Dance floor.
I DVR'd it, so we'll have to. Actually, if you guys go to iTunes and you saw it, let us know. Is he in the?
Yeah.
Is he in the background?
Yeah, I know that would be really funny.
So he's shopping for socks too. At
I thought
Reed.
He was using again. Like he looked like
so
he'd
too,
been
but he
using.
Was crying
he
for
was
her.
Crying. No, he was crying because of his addiction. Here he is. He went. He got Hannah drugs. And he's fighting the relapse.
Oh, not
what's
using.
Happening.
Oh, that's where mm-hmm. his tears were.
He's fighting the relapse.
Okay.
And then when Hannah busts him, is like, you know, Lairs, are you following us? Whatever. And he's like, here, take this H. And
yeah, why did he have that?
Because I think that's what he was doing.
He was going to use it.
He bought it when he bought her drugs. And that, you know, putting him in that situation was very rough.
Selfish.
And she didn't even
and
care.
Selfish. No, she because she didn't think about it like
no.
that. She doesn't think, here's somebody that used to be a hardcore addict. Let me send him back to his dealer to get
right.
me drugs and give him that temptation.
You,
she's not thinking
exactly.
about it.
You
by
cannot
way,
give an alcoholic top shelf alcohol. You know we're going
to
drink it.
The other shitty thing is
like,
if you know of anyone who's been an addict, like I've known people that have been addicts mm-hmm. and you have to disassociate from everybody. Like people actually move cities and
yeah.
like literally not talk to any of their friends
yeah.
or even family that bring that side out in them.
Mm-hmm.
It takes years to get clean and it's a continual process. For her, I mean, she, like you said, she had no idea, but just knowing people who have been through that, I'm like, I can't believe you put him back in the lion's den.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I mean,
exactly what she didn't care. She's
she didn't give a damn.
Well, and I think that he felt bad that he's the one that supplied it to her because that's just like the gateway to be on the path that
right.
he's on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he felt very guilty about that. And I think that was another reason for his tears.
We'll get to the end of the show, but I think that she opened him up back to his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And just by what happened at the end of the show, I'm just going to say it. When they kissed,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they were, you know, she's on coke, he's not, he's, you know, clean. He's going to taste that. And
mm-hmm.
that's going to throw him back into his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she's going to have
wow,
to save him.
Call.
She's going to have to save him because she likes to play the little savior figure just
well,
like she
I
did
wonder
for
if
Adam.
She's even really going to get it. If she's even really going to understand what
oh,
it
no.
is she just did. Like, I wonder if she's going to.
It's going to... 10 years from now, she will.
Yeah.
10 years, she'll look back, she'll be like, oh my God, I was so crazy. What did I do?
Yeah.
Oh
well, let's
God.
Talk about
we,
Marnie.
Yeah, I really
want to
talk about that
Marnie.
Sex scene.
So, Marnie is at work. At, you know, her hostess job, and she runs into Booth Jonathan, who's the artist that she was, like, obsessed with
yes.
from last season. That was, like, totally kind of hot in his, you know, the way he was not... He's not necessarily hot,
his
but
aggressiveness,
they're,
his swagger,
yeah, they're
his
in
confidence.
His confidence and the way he was just telling her things, it was, you know, it was pretty attractive the way he was. And I think that's what kind of.
I think they both like the fact that the way that they speak to one another, she's not used to somebody talking to her the way that he speaks to her,
mm-hmm.
and she's not. And vice versa. Like,
mm-hmm.
he's like, wait, I like the fact that you talk to me that way.
Right.
It really
well,
turns me on.
Well, you know, when
kind of
she, when he
mm-hmm.
she sees him, he sees her, and she tries to kind of run away. And he calls her Maddie. Was it Maddie that he was calling
Maddie,
her?
Yeah.
Patty.
Maddie.
No, Maddie.
He was calling
oh,
her Maddie.
I thought he said Patty.
And he's like, Maddie, I see you. And she which is horrible.
It's like, it's Marnie.
Yeah, she turns around, it's Marnie. And then she tries to shake his hand, and he kisses her cheek. And she's like, oh, hey, you know. And, you know, he tells her, you know, so you work here, that's depressing. And, you know, and she says, I'm sorry that there's not all these, you know, curatorial jobs out there. And he's like, oh, I love that. I love with people with passion, you know, young people with passion just give up so easily when they have to struggle.
When they
I
yes.
thought that
I
was
thought that
the
was a great
best
quote.
Thing he could have said to her.
Agreed. I
mm-hmm.
mean, So many people go, and if they follow their dreams, they, you know, get successful from it. They get the taste of what they want in their career or path, career path. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you kind of get knocked down. You're like, you lose faith. And mm-hmm. he called her out on it.
Right, which is what we talked about last week. This, you know, for all we know, she went out for this one job interview. The person told her she shouldn't be in art, and then she accepted it and left it and, you know, got this hostessing job. So the fact for him to say that to her in the way, condescending way that he did, I thought was fantastic, because she's the type of person that needs to hear it way, you know. But then she comes back at him and is like, so, you know, sorry, I'm not like you, you know, a con artist that gets people to, like, you know, you know, this weird art idea, you know, whatever she says. And then he's like, you know, I like you talking to me like that. When's the last time you had sex? And she's like, who do you think I am? And this is my favorite. I think you're somebody who's about to have sex with me. Yeah.
And then he takes her out of work. Like, she just leaves her shift. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And that's what makes him hot. Up until we get to his house.
Oh, my gosh. This house is full of just crazy child.
Okay. Is it a post office?
Dark artwork? Said,
I think it was. And it was it's converted to this big loft for him. So it's his studio and where he lives. I mean, which, when you go in, it's a fantastic space.
Yeah.
But he shows her this whacked out dollhouse.
Red rum.
You know, one of his new pieces for
his
new
real
show. With real blood.
Gosh, that was creepy.
And what did he want to say? You know, what did he want to call
he
it?
He said he wants to do a children's death games art show.
Yes.
That's the next title of the show.
Marty applauds. She loves everything that he's showing her.
Well, but if you look around, this guy is obviously twisted. He's got some childhood twisted issues, because there's doll heads, this crazy dollhouse, teddy bears with nails in them, dolls hanging.
The doll that she has to look at, you know, and describe while they're doing it.
Well, wait, but before that, he locks her in this, like, video room. It's like little
weird.
During Sex in the City, when Carrie dated the Russian.
Uh-huh.
Was it Light Constellations?
Light Constellations art.
It's that kind of
it
art.
It was kind of something like that. But he locks her in this little room, and then, like, all the pictures, it's like Barely Breathing is the song that's the blasting out of this thing. But all the images you see are so creepy. There's
the
like
dog
a
dying?
Like a wolf or a dog dying. There's maggots, a baby crying.
It looked like the opening for True Blood. Have you guys seen the opening for True Blood?
It did look like that. It was so creepy. But he locks her in this room to the point where she's like down, sitting on the floor, holding her knees to her chest. Like, she's like, what the heck?
Imagine, she was sober when that happened. Yes. Had it been Hannah or Elijah in there?
Oh, my God. They would have,
Even if Hannah was sober, she would have freaked.
No, but he's, like, making espresso, checking his email, pounding nails at a bear.
He had headphones on. Like, he totally, I'm like, does he have the song on replay? He got a lot done while she was there.
You know, he left her in there for a significant amount of time. She comes out, and she's like, what the fuck, dude? She's like, what? And then he, like, gives her this weird hug, and then she's like, you're so talented.
It was so creepy. Like,
such
that was
BS.
Oh my God. Then flash to the most ridiculous sex scene I've ever seen in my life.
They were the same size.
Take it. Yeah. Take it.
Okay. She is laying down in, like, what would this be? Eagle position?
Spread eagle. But she's on her stomach.
She's on her stomach. He's hitting it from behind, but on top of her. Not even doggy style. Like, he's just laid out in the same eagle position on top of her, which doesn't even look like sexy. He's just pumping away, making her describe what the doll looks
this
like.
This doll hanging there. What the doll is feeling. She says it's sassy. And he said, no, she's sad.
That is the worst kind of foreplay I
then
have ever seen.
Then he has the audacity to ask if you're on birth control.
After they're, like, when he's almost done, which is a question you should ask before it even starts. Especially because apparently they're
doing it raw doggy.
Well, they should have been using protection. Yeah, like, let's just be real. But
you guys know artists are wanderers. Sleep and they're free. You know, they sleep around. They're free. They're free spirits. So he's like pumping it in her, and he just jizzes in her. And she's like okay with it. That looked like the worst sex ever. It didn't even look like
she
was
even
near climax at all.
No, she was basically just the entity for him to insert himself into.
Right.
It didn't look like she was into it at all. She was making weird facial expressions.
She was not enjoying it. Like,
no.
Her face was like, what are you
and
doing?
And if she was honest
there?
With
like,
him, when he asked her when was the last time you had sex, she would have said 2.5 weeks ago with the gay guy.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Well, and then when after they're done and he gets off her, she just starts laughing.
Because she's tickled.
Because she likes him so much that she accepts that, and that's okay.
I think she gets off on his artistic weirdness. It's her only connection to what she loves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she's going to accept him being weird and creepy and, like, describe the doll thing.
Yeah.
It's her status clutch. Like, she's holding on to that status that she's lost.
Absolutely.
Freaking creepy. And then, you know, she's in the bathroom on the toilet, and it's like, you know, it's got, like, a curtain that's open, and he's walking around naked, and she's just so happy in this moment. And then she's, you know, sitting in the kitchen in her shirt. And, I mean, she's super hot. Like, she looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, you notice her, like, sitting there in this, like, sexy position, like, trying to be sexy.
Yeah, she looked like she was in a sexy Victoria's Secret, like, swimsuit.
Yes.
Clothes.
Like, she's so all about him. And even after that horrible sex. And
I will say this. When you're into somebody, you will do anything to look sexy during, after, and before, during, and after the fact.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know that I've been like, oh, girl, perk your butt up just a little. He's walking in. See the curvature.
You position your legs just right so that the cut in the muscles and, like, everything is just, like, glistening. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
wow.
But even after you have
After
a horrible...
After Buzz exclusive.
I mean, you guys would still do that?
How it's done sexually.
Okay, would you
properly.
Still do that after you have horrible
well,
sex?
No, absolutely. Bad sex is one thing that I just cannot compromise
See,
with.
I can't either. I would have probably laughed, got up, and left. Like, that's not okay.
When you like someone, you accept bad sex. Trust me.
Not that bad. No.
Oh, I can't.
I'm a virgin. I have no idea.
I can tell you stories.
I can accept maybe, like, you know, premature stuff, or maybe, you know, something like that. But when it's like that, where it's obviously not about me whatsoever at all, and you want me to describe some creepy ass hanging doll in your room.
No, that's when you say stop. You say get off, stop, get on the next train, get the hell out of here.
If I walked in the room and saw the doll, I probably wouldn't have even been naked.
You know what? I have to disagree. When you're into someone, you will compromise everything and kind of just
So the doll thing would have been okay with you?
I'm not saying it'd be okay, but if I really liked him, I'd be like, all right, that's your thing.
You'd
Let's
be like,
do
she's
it.
Sad. She's sassy. Most
definitely. I'd be like, this doll needs you to get the F off. Let's go.
I don't know.
But can we address the fact that I love that Hannah interrupted Marnie's night?
Yes.
And that she was very bold, and that her speech was amazing. I loved her little speech to Marnie.
I thought so too.
I was like, preach, sister.
She stood up for herself.
She absolutely stood up for herself, and she said, you know, I just want you to admit that you are the bad friend, because wearing, you know, inappropriate pants and doing whatever I do does not make me the bad friend. What constitutes a bad friend is doing something on purpose to hurt that person, and that's what you did.
That was amazing. I was so proud of her to articulate that.
Yeah.
I didn't know she had it in her.
I know. I thought it was great. And she said, you looked me in the face every day, lying to me with your eyes and lying to me by not saying anything. But it's so true. Acting like nothing happened.
It goes back to the Coke brings out the truth.
Yeah.
And she got to finally speak her truth to Marnie because she hurt her.
Yeah.
Marnie hurt her. I mean, that's just dirty.
So what you're saying is if we want to find the truth out from people, we should sprinkle some Coke on the food? Because there's a couple of lies I've been told.
That'll give them lots of Patron.
And she says, she says, I don't even care at this point. We can still be friends, but just know that you're a bad one. And, you know, she made, you know, Marnie got teared up and she admitted it. She's like, okay, I'm the bad friend. And I have been in a situation like that before with somebody very close to me that's really hard that, you know, had sex with my boyfriend. And it's a very terrible, terrible thing. And it's very hard to get over. And your relationship is never the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't trust them anymore.
You can't really. And you have to wonder why. Like, what is it? Why do you have to be in such continuous competition like that with me, the person that you can in that's there for you, that's supposed to be, that you're supposed to care about in this different way. Why would you want to do that?
Let it out, girl. Let it out.
You know, and that's kind of what I think we're going to see with their relationship.
Thank you.
That's what I want to see with their relationship. I want to see how Marnie's going to try to make up for this, or if they are, or how their friendship is going to be.
And that's what I'm wondering, too, because that is the ultimate deal breaker and betrayal.
Yes.
In my opinion, there is no wiggle room or, you know, downtime. What did you call it?
Grace period.
Yeah.
I'm just like, absolutely not. If I ever, ever cared about this person, no. Right. Especially with one of my best friends. Yeah. A stranger, I don't care what they do.
Right.
But one of my besties, it's not
That's
going
a whole
down.
Different story.
I like how Hannah, after telling Marnie off, handled it with Elijah. Elijah's like, oh, hey, you want some Coke? She's like, no, I'm going to go throw up. Marnie, that is.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you have to move out now.
Yeah.
Now and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, seriously, you think I'm going to let you live in my house after you just did my best friend and you've admitted to me? It's
not
only been
happening. Do you think that was fair? Do you think that she should make him move out?
Absolutely. I think it kind of was. I mean, we've got to like wrap things up over here real quick. But I think that, you know, I think that he needs to take responsibility for what's happening there, for his part in it. And what she says, you ruined my relationship with Marnie. You ruined my relationship with maybe my favorite drug ever, cocaine. You know, there's all these things that he's doing because, like Hannah, he doesn't take responsibility either.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think he, you know.
I kind of feel like he gets a hood pass because he's gay.
I don't think so.
No, I feel bad. I feel bad for him, but the fact that he did it in the apartment that her apartment, he did it on her couch with her best friend. Like, that's just old. Like, he didn't slap her once. He slapped her, backhanded her, slapped her, again, kicked her in the rib, threw her in front of the train. You know,
They both did. They both equally did it. They were both equally, like, supposed to be her best friend in different ways, and they both, screwed her, and it's just not okay.
No.
But let's do news and gossip real quick.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So the most exciting news we have for the show is they got picked up for us for another season, 12 episodes, which is great. So I'm super excited about that. Can't wait to see where everything goes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much, you know, the biggest news of the week for this show.
I thought you had mentioned to me she's Marnie.
Marnie has been guest starring on the Mindy Project. She did two episodes on the Mindy Project where she plays Eye Patch Girl.
Oh, cool.
It was really cute. So if you haven't seen the last couple episodes, you can go online and watch those. I like the Mindy Project. I think it's hilarious. But she has been on that show, so that's pretty cool. I wonder if she's going to come back. She played Dr. Castellano's girlfriend.
Oh, I like him.
I know. He's so cute. Awesome. So that was great. Okay, what about predictions?
All right, I'll start. Let's go. Layers and Hannah. I want to see where that goes and if her ex gets a little kind of weird about it. By the way, what happened to Hannah's her boy toy? The guy that appeared in the first.
Right. Oh, she broke up with him.
Oh, she broke up with him. Yeah. Okay.
So he broke up with her. It was, you know, whatever.
I want to see where that goes with Layers and Hannah. Like, you had mentioned, Miriam had mentioned that she may reintroduce him to drugs again. But I want to kind of see how that plays out if she tries to throw him aside when she's done. Because she said it's just a one-night thing. And if he gets clingy and weird. I wonder what's going to happen with Marnie and her having sex. I'm wondering if she may have a pregnancy scare. Because remember the abortion in the last season?
Oh,
there may be something
prediction.
Weird, and it's going to make her, you know, kind of her reality is going to, it's going to hit her in the
Absolutely.
Face.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But those are
awesome predictions.
And then I'm wondering about Shoshana, like what the status is and with Jessa. Because we haven't seen a lot of those two. So I'm wondering if we're going to see Jessa in her new house or, you know, something like that.
Well,
so.
From the previews that unfortunately you guys didn't get to see for tonight, we're going to see Shoshana and Ray kind of doing a thing where it kind of looks like he may be living with her unbeknownst to her.
Oh.
So that's going to be kind of an interesting thing to see. So I'm really curious to see kind of how their relationship goes. What do you guys think is going to happen?
I think that Hannah and Marnie's relationship are definitely going to be put to the test as far as, you know, there's going to be that awkwardness. It's not going to be the same. And there's going to be a lot of hardships that come with it. I think that, you know, Elijah, he's out. Period. Mm-hmm. He's out. He did Hannah dirty, and now he's on his own, and there's going to be a lot of conflict. Because, now mind you, when he moved in, Hannah's place was empty because everything belonged to Marnie.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything in the apartment truly belongs to Elijah. So we're going to see I think there's going to be a battle between the two of them on who gets what and what stays and all that kind of, it's going to be messy.
Well, I wonder if Marnie's going to move back in. I wonder if she's going to be forgiving her and Marnie's going to move back in.
Well, if that was the case, she could just forgive Elijah.
But I don't know. It's a little different, though.
I think.
Like, I wonder. I just kind of wonder just because of some previews I've seen from the rest of the season, it kind of looks like they're back there. So I wonder if that's the road they're going to take.
Or keep your friends closer, your enemies closer.
Yeah, it could
be
that.
I think they have a real love for each other. And that's why you're so much more forgiving.
I think somebody unexpected may move in with Hannah.
I mean, that could be cool, too. That would be good to see. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say that I predict that Jessa is going to kind of sever her relationship or her marriage and not tell anybody. Like, I think that she's going to be living this lie as if she's still married, but really they separated like months ago. I think somewhere along the line that's going to come out that she's like, I've been pretending, you know, just because like she has an image to uphold or whatever.
Well, we'll see.
And then I also would like to see that we find out that the actual actress who plays Hannah was really taking coke during the making of this episode for authenticity. I think that would be amazing because her character was taking coke to write a story, so I would love it if she was taking coke to an episode. I think that would be pretty cool.
Are you coked up?
Well, thank you so much, guys. That's it for us for tonight. Thank you so much for hanging out. Make sure to always follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
Twidazzle me at Thomas Guide, TOMASGUIDE.
You can play with my Twitter at spicy_Mari.
You can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez.
Thanks again, guys, and we will see you all next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.